to see you this morning. Things are a little jumbled up, but glad everyone's here, and that our worship to God will please Him. We're thankful that you got here safely and pray the same as you return home tonight, or this afternoon, late morning. The study we're going to have this morning is about Mary, and asking a question that I've heard on from a song you hear this time of year some, Mary, Did You Know? And you may have heard it. It's a song in which Mary is asked if she knows who her child is and what he will do. Now, the Scriptures give us some insight into that, and I'd like to, for us to just introduce our study with that from Luke 1. If you're here this morning, you're not a Christian, we want to encourage you to become one. I encourage you to know that the gospel is clear as it identifies the sin that separates us from God. That's what it means to be lost. We're separated from God because of our sin. But Jesus died to save us from our sins. If we will yield to His, to faith in Him and obedience to His will, He teaches us how to be forgiven of our sin, how to live with Him now, live with Him eternally. That's our objective. And if that's not the case in your life, then we want you to be saved this morning. We want you in faith to repent of your sin, to confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and be baptized for the remission of your sins. Christians need to understand that once we are saved from our past sins, we're to walk in righteousness. We're to be holy as God is holy. And when we find sin in our lives, He's given us the avenue of prayer and repentant hearts and confessing our sin to Him, and His forgiveness is promised and assured. And so, if that's the need of your life, we urge that today, that you stand in a right relationship with God, with sin removed, and with the blessing of His fellowship in your life. The Scriptures say in Luke 1, 30-35, that an angel visited Mary. That we pick up our reading in verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when he saw him, or when she saw him, she was troubled at this saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also the Holy One who is born will be called the Son of God." And so while the popular song asks Mary, "Did you know certain things about your son and what he would do and who he would be?" this beginning of the narrative about Mary and the bringing of Jesus into the world tells us that God favored this young woman, that she was a virgin, that she didn't understand what this greeting meant of highly favored, nor understand how she could bear a child when she had never known a man. And the messenger from God, Gabriel, gives the explanation that by the power of the Spirit of God, by a miracle, that she would conceive and she would bear a son. And who he would be? He would be the one who would sit upon his father David's throne. He would be a king. He would have a kingdom. He would have great power. He would be the Son of God. And speaking now of his deity, to say the Son of God speaks that this is not merely someone who's coming, who is just a man like anyone else, but also the Son of God. He's going to be deity. So the Scriptures also tell us that there are a lot of other things that we just don't know about all the ins and outs of what Mary knew. In Luke 2, 50-51, it says that uh, of Mary and Joseph, when Jesus was 12 years of age, that they did not understand the statement which He spoke to them. When He said, "Then you know I must be about my Father's business," when He was in the temple discussing with the lawyers the law there after the Passover, and they didn't understand what He meant. So there are clearly some things that they didn't understand, they didn't grasp. But verse 51 goes on to say, He went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. He was obedient to them. But His mother kept all these things in her heart. Like any other mother, Mary kept the events of her child in her heart. Events that had been untold, had been unknown to anyone. No other mother had experienced some of the things that Mary experienced. Some of the events that she lived through. And it's that insight and that instruction from the Scripture that can instruct us, can strengthen mothers and teach mothers today and every one of us about our discipleship. There are certainly a lot of false doctrines that swirl around Mary. The Catholic doctrines of Mariology have through the centuries developed. And Mary is venerated, held in very, very, very high esteem. In Catholicism, they believe that and call her the Mother of God in the Council of Ephesus in 431 began to appropriate that terminology, as well as the Queen of Heaven. She's called the Queen, regarded as the Queen of Heaven. But in the 7th century, they accepted her perpetual virginity. They began to teach that that she was forever virgin. Now, of course, Jesus had some brothers and sisters. The Scriptures teach us. Nevertheless, Catholicism, and a lot of people think she was forever a virgin. By the way, Matthew 1:25 answers that too. In 1854, the Catholic Church accepted the Immaculate Conception doctrine about Mary. In other words, the Immaculate Conception doctrine is that when she was conceived, by her parents without sin. Because you see, how could Jesus be born without sin unless His mother didn't have sin? Because they believe in original sin and the giving of sin down the line all the way from Adam and Eve. So how is it that Jesus could be born without original sin? Well, see, they adopted in 1950, it became part of the Catholic official doctrine, 1854, she was immaculately conceived. She was born without the taint, conceived without the taint of original sin herself. Now, my way of thinking, what does that have to say about her parents? I don't know how that worked out. It doesn't, but you see, that's the Immaculate Conception is part of. Yeah, you hear that phrase Immaculate Conception, and maybe you immediately think, oh, they're talking about the virgin conception of Jesus. No, that's not what that's talking about. It's talking about Mary being immaculately conceived. That's the doctrine. Then there's the Assumption of Mary, 1950, the belief that she was assumed into heaven, that she went directly into heaven, and the mediatrix of Mary and the co-redemptrix are still developing as they put her on this co-equal redemptrix level with Jesus Christ, the Redeemer. And so many, many people pray to Mary. Many, many people believe that they have access to Jesus through Mary. Millions and millions, billion Catholics in the world believe that access to Jesus is through His mother Mary. And she is highly regarded and venerated. Well, the Bible says she's blessed among women. I'm not sure I ever find the verse that says she is blessed above women. She is blessed among women. She is among the women who were blessed by God. That's what Luke 1:28 says. So we're not going to elevate Mary to some status above any other godly woman, but we are going to recognize her faith. We're going to honor the faith that she had, the life that she lived. We're going to see and understand her place in God's overall plan for our redemption from sin and learn lessons that help mothers and fathers, frankly, and help us as Christians, as we explore the life of Mary here just for a few minutes. So let's ask the question that the song asks. Mary, did you know? the faith you would need to be the mother of Jesus? Luke 1:38. This was already a woman of faith. It was not as if Mary had no faith. But when you see her faith expressed in Luke 1:38, Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. And so here is this young lady who is marked by a character of faith. So much so that God chooses her to bear His Son, to bring Emmanuel into the world. And when she hears God's word from God's messenger, she is submissive and she is obedient. Her character marks herself as blessed among women. Young women and young men today need the same defining mark. But so often, the mark of faith is missing. It's missing in older men, older women. Many, where is that kind of faith? This is the kind of faith you and I need today. When God speaks, we say, "Let it be according to your word. I am your servant." More on that in a minute. But that's where we begin. She shows exemplary faith throughout all of this text. And as we just read from 46 through 55 of Luke, the first chapter, she magnifies the Lord in praise and adoration for His great work and for His choice of her and His use of her in His plan to accomplish the Abrahamic promises of redemption to the world. Look at her faith, though, from this point of view with me. If Mary's faith was going to be tested as it is expressed, it's going to be tested. Gabriel's message is going to be a test of faith. Here's this young maiden. She's a virgin, and now she's told that she's going to bear a child. Now, and this child's going to be magnificent, and that's going to test. Do you really believe this, Mary? Do you really believe this message? This angel that says you're going to have a child? You might think, well, that's easy to believe. How was it? She'd never known a man. She asked, "How can this be?" You see, it's not wrong to ask questions to understand God's will and upon which we build our faith. She did not resist. She did not reject. She asked, "How is that possible?" And that test, you see, our faith is tested when God tells us something in His Word. And we don't seem to quite be able to figure that out in our own little mind as it turns and works and the wheels spin sometimes. How could that be? How could it really be that way? You mean not everybody who believes is going to be saved? You mean we can't add instrumental music and it please God in worship? Even though the Word of God gives us clear statements and teaching. So you see, our faith is tested in the same way that Mary's was. How can this be? Well, it is because of God's revelation. He's explained His will to us in the Scriptures. And it comes to a point of where we must submit ourselves. We must say, "Let it be according to your word." See? So, Mary sets an example of faith that is good for you and me. Because she accepted God's answer. She accepted the explanation. It was going to be unique in all of human history. She didn't know anybody else that was pregnant without it being a man and a woman. There was nothing in their record. There was no history about anyone bearing a child who was a virgin. Now, we think we're so smart today. We can in vitro, an implant and women bear children without having the sex act. But there's still the implantation, don't you see? It's the implantation of the seed. How can I have a child and the seed's not planted? Only by the power of God. but she accepted the answer of God. And brethren, that really is an attitude of faith. When God speaks in His Word, we've got to find a place where we simply yield to it, where we simply submit to it, that we accept it and receive it. Not just that we, you know, the idea of submit is not that, well, I'll begrudgingly do it. It's that we embrace it. I think she embraced what God said. That's faith. Is we embrace what God says, and it becomes the identifying part of who we are. That's what faith is about. Now look, you see her faith's going to be tested because she's betrothed. And she's going to be pregnant and betrothed. But you see, now imagine the situation. A betrothal was a legally binding engagement. It was more strict and firm than the engagements we're familiar with in our society. In Matthew 1:18 through 20, we have some explanation. It says the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After His mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. So they have this binding contract, the expectation that of husband and wife. In fact, those terms will be used in this relationship of betrothal, husband and wife. But before they came together in the act of marriage, before there was sexual intimacy, she had a child. She was pregnant. Now, fellas, what would you think? What would all the appearances be? Parents, your daughter's pregnant. What would you think? What did hers think? What would Joseph thought? Well, we know what Joseph thought. Verse 19, Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. We know what Joseph thought. He thought she was an adulteress. You see, when you act by faith, when you trust God's Word and follow it, there will be times when people will think you are a horrible sinner. And while he thought about these things, and this going over his mind, how can this be? How is Mary pregnant? I'm going to put her away. She has violated the honor, the sanctity, the purity. I'm gonna get rid of it. I am gonna do it privately. But behold, while he thought of these things, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit." Now you see, Joseph needed faith too. Joseph's going to have to accept this word of the angel as well, as he goes on to give explanation. And Joseph did. Verse 24, he aroused from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. So in anticipation of public shame, at least the possibility of and clear likelihood of public humiliation, of family pressures and rejection, Mary lives the faith that says, "Be it unto me according to your will. I am your maidservant." You see, she was a woman of faith that accepted potential shame, potential... imagine the talk? Really, can you imagine the talk? They didn't go around... I don't know what was said. Really, we don't know. Do you think Joseph and Mary said, "Now wait a minute, we really didn't have intercourse. She's really not a shameful woman." I mean, did all that really happen? All I know is... He didn't take her. They didn't have relations until after the birth of Jesus, and they were betrothed, and that was the way it was. And of course, he married her there. So, to what extent all that happened, I do know this: she is willing, and Joseph is willing to endure whatever pressures came from that to be a part of God's plan, to be his servants. Her faith is shown in anticipation of future pain also. She was told early in the child's life about the pain that was going to happen to her. It says Simon, you remember Simon who blessed the child there as they brought him to the temple after birth. And he said, he blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "Behold, this child is destined for the fall and the rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, and the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." That the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. This child is going to cause many to fall and many to rise. And there's going to be, and your heart, your soul is going to be pierced to its very core. You're going to experience pain, Mary, mother of Jesus. Your soul is going to be cut in two. She was at the cross. John 19:25, as Jesus hung there. Don't you know her heartache? Don't you know it wept as she saw her son unjustly murdered? And long before that, here's a woman who trusted her son. At the wedding in Cana, she told the people, "Do whatever he says to you." Wow. What a faith she had in her son. Do whatever he says to you. She says that to me and you too, in a manner of speaking. That's her advice and counsel to the whole world. Do as he says to you. But are we listening to Jesus? No, we listen to everything else but Jesus. Too often. Too often. But she trusted his words. Yeah. Back to the pain. Don't you know it tore at her heart? She was in Nazareth. And the people tried to murder her son in Luke 4. When he spoke in the synagogue. They were ready to kill him right then. She lived around those people. She experienced the conflict. The emotional hurt, pain. But she was a woman of faith. And she kept that faith through all those obstacles. You see, her faith was such that she made herself available to God. I think that's the point of Luke 1:38. When she says, "Behold the maidservant of the Lord." She makes herself available to God. "I will trust and obey you." One author wrote, "Here's a teenager," and I don't know if she's a teenager or not, but he thinks she was. "Young maiden, young virgin, facing misunderstanding and rejection from her family, her betrothed, and her townspeople. And yet she agrees. Mary affirms the bedrock truth that undergirds our discipleship. I am the Lord's servant." That's the bedrock of our faith. I am the Lord's servant. When we stop serving Jesus in our heart, we will not serve Him in our lives. 1 Peter 3 and verse 15, "Sanctify in your hearts Christ as Lord." When we don't serve Him in our heart like Mary did, then we won't serve Him in our lives, as she also did. She was available to God. And God used her with great blessing and also great pain attached to that. And so and she worshiped God, she praised Him. We read that and spoke to that a minute ago. But here's this point. Christian, do you know you need genuine faith like Mary? Do you really know that you need faith like Mary? Say, "Oh, well, God's not going to ask me to do something like that." Well, He asked fishermen to leave their livelihood in Mark 1 to follow Him. Are you willing to leave your livelihood if your livelihood conflicts with Jesus? In John 6, Jesus told Peter, "Get out and walk on the water." Peter said, "If that's you, Lord, ask me to come to you." And He said, "Do it." So if Jesus asks you to walk on the water, will you? He said, "Oh yeah, of course I will." Okay. Will He ask you to get out in the snow and worship Him? I mean, you see, when push comes to shove,
And it does in all of our lives. When the push comes to shove. And the Lord has His will, and He stated His will for me. Whether it's to be baptized to be saved, or whether it's to worship Him in spirit and in truth, or whether it's to be morally pure, or if it's to control my tongue and let no profanity out of my mouth, or is it to speak truth each one with his neighbor, or is it to be long-suffering and forbearing, or if it's to be forgiving of each other, if it's to be encouraging and edifying, whatever it is, am I to have the kind of faith Mary had? Am I going to say, I'm your servant, I'll trust you and obey you? Or do we begin to, well, not this time, not so much now. No, and you see, but then we want to convince ourselves that we're walking by faith. And that's not going to be a very convincing argument in the last day. Brethren, we need faith that Mary had, a faith that will help us endure present trials. 1 Peter 1, 6 through 9. Peter talks about it. He wrote to the Christians who were facing tremendous pressures for their faith. 1 Peter 1, 6 through 9. He said, you greatly rejoice in this, though now for a little while you have been grieved by various trials. You rejoice in heaven and you're grieved in trials. There's Mary. She rejoiced in God, but her soul's going to be cut with a sword. Going to cut to its depth. But that's what being faithful is all about. We're going to face both, brethren. We're going to face the joy of salvation, and we're going to face the sorrow that comes from those who are against God and against the will of God, even as we seek to do His will.
Jesus explained this faith to us in Matthew 6:24. No one can serve two masters. I can't, you can't, none of us can. Either He will hate the one and He will love the other, or He will hold to the one and despise the other. But cannot serve God and mammon, He said.
Cannot serve God and riches. That was His context, His point. Lay up treasures in heaven, not on the earth.
In Luke 17, He tells us we have to love less everybody else in our life than Jesus.
I've got to love my mother and father less than I do Jesus. I have to love my wife or my husband less than I do Jesus. I have to love my son or my daughter, my brother or my sister less than I do Jesus. I have to love myself less than I do Jesus. Or,
listen to Jesus. He said, you cannot be my disciple. So, do we have the faith in Mary? We've got to have it. I want to ask another question. Mothers, did you know you need genuine faith like Mary? To overcome the fears that you have,
I'm thinking of new mothers. We have
some who are relatively new.
But we have some who have been mothers for many years. And there are equal applications for you. For the new mother, there's fears of expectations, of uncertainties, of what will become of this child, of what will I do, how will this be, what will I... All of those things flood into the heart and mind of the expectant mother. Do you think Mary was any different?
I don't think she was different. What's going to come of this child? What does this mean? It's an extraordinary beginning. And reinforced by a prophet afterwards of strange things and hurtful things and risings and fallings and through her life. So mothers, when it comes to your role in the life of your child, you need faith.
Faith to overcome initial fears and ongoing fears, concerns, expectations, wonderings.
Like Mary, you must be a maidservant of the Lord. You see, Mary was willing to accept the responsibility of being a mother.
She hadn't prepared for it the day before. It had not entered her mind to be a mother. She didn't know a man.
And the next day, God tells her,
you're going to be a mother. And He's going to be the Son of God. The tremendous responsibility of motherhood is a responsibility that cannot be passed to somebody else, cannot be handed off to another, but is a role uniquely that you are uniquely fitted for, and you must uniquely equip and prepare yourself for and continue in, because it's not as if you have the child and then motherhood, you got it all down. Pat, isn't that right, mothers? I mean, you got first week, it's just done. And by the time they're two or three, I mean, it's game's over. I mean, it's all good now. We know every way it's got to be. Of course, I won't talk to the mothers of teenagers. But what about the mothers of 20-somethings and 30-somethings or 40 and 50-somethings? You think motherhood goes away? Oh, it shifts, it changes. But remember, Jesus was over 30 years old when Mary is going to be cut with the sword to the very depth of her soul. You need faith as a mother all of your life, trusting that God's will is right for you, and to rear your children in the way of the Lord, to nurture your child in God's ways. Look at Titus 2 and verse 4 with me. In Titus 2 and the fourth verse, Paul tells Titus there to be teaching the older women to teach or admonish the young women. And admonition is an encouragement with warning. To admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children. You know, the word love here in both the husband and the children is not agape. It's not the intellectual decision of will. It is the warm closeness of affection. Because, you see, sometimes you might not particularly feel very warm toward the husband or the child. But that's especially the time when you need to remember you're the maidservant of the Lord. And love your husbands and love your children. Well, Mary had to learn and go through all of that. She too had to develop, and she, I feel confident in saying, is one who lived that love as Jesus grew, you see. She was patient and nurturing. You need to be patient and nurturing. Remember, look at Luke 2, 51. She didn't understand what Jesus was saying to them when he said, "Don't you know I have to be about my Father's business?" And she kept that in her heart, though. But look, more than that, it says Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Mary, along with Joseph, were teaching Jesus. It wasn't like he didn't need to be instructed. He increased in wisdom. That means he grew. That means he didn't have as much at 1 year old as he did when he was 10 or at 20. You see, he grew. He increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. His mother had a part in that. Mothers, you have a part in that for your children, to be nurturing them. Yes, mothers, you need faith like Mary had. Of course, husbands do too. Fathers do too. We need faith like Joseph. That's another lesson. But just as pertinent, just as real. You see, as they together were parents of Jesus. But back to Mary for a minute. Mary, did you know the hardships and sacrifices that having this child would bring? Whenever there's great blessings, realize they don't come without also great trials. We have a distorted view of blessings. We think we ought to always have the blessing and there never be any effort. But Mary's faith was filled with effort. And as this young mother who would bear this child and had found God's favor, we've already expressed much of the trials that she would face as betrothed, as the young virgin, and many others through her life. In fact, what about during birth? Not just before birth, but during birth, and just prior to the birth. You know what happened? They went from Nazareth to Bethlehem to be enrolled, to be registered for the census, for the taxing of the people, and that's about roughly a 60-mile journey. Now, I want you mothers to think back when you were probably about, 8 months pregnant or so. And you're going to make a journey of 60 miles. Well, let's fire up that car. Let's get in and be sure we're real comfortable. Because, if she had any transportation at all, it would be on a donkey. You ever ridden a donkey at 8 months pregnant? Because I don't know if she even had that. Other generally is walking. So she had a trip of about 60 miles, most likely on foot. And that's part of the blessing, Mary. It's part of your blessing. I can't from experience, but I expect when you're about 8.5 months pregnant, you don't feel very blessed sometimes. You're ready to get on with this blessing, right? but look at the hardships that she faced along with Joseph. Of course, additionally, of course, as she gave birth in a manger, put the child in the manger, there wasn't any room for them in the inn. So they make this long journey, exhausting journey, bearing a child, almost ready to give birth. And when she gives birth, there's no comfort, no comfortable place at all. Just some of the blessings with trials that she willingly accepted. Never do we hear Mary complain. Never do we hear her grumble. Never do we hear her say, "God, I wish you'd have chosen somebody else." But she willingly, submissively, faithfully accepted the work God gave her to do, the service that she would render in His purposes. Of course, after the birth of Jesus, there were also many hardships. You see, Herod, the king, was trying to kill her son. Imagine having a child and the king is trying to kill him, and you have to flee. You have to go to Egypt. The child is very young, and you have to stay in a foreign country for quite some time until that king dies, Herod the Great. That's in Matthew 2:13-15. Her hardship was just beginning when she gave birth. Mothers, there's application for you. There's application for us as Christians. You see, when we become a Christian, that's just the beginning of the trials. Don't we understand that? Don't we know that when we say, I'm going to follow Jesus, that I'm your servant? That's just the start. It's not the end. It's the beginning. And Joseph and Mary together accept those sacrifices, those and God's provisions that He provided them to accomplish that, of course, and the gifts they received at the time prior to their departure. In Luke 2:34-35, we already noted, I believe we saw the point there of Simeon telling her that she would feel pain through the life of Jesus. Her soul would be pierced, certainly at the death of Jesus. That was so. So great blessings come, trials, hardship. Did she know that at the birth, prior to the birth? She learned it. And part of the way we can know something in our mind too. But as we experience it by making decisions of faith, we begin to understand it more clearly. And you see, our call to faith, to be faithful like Mary was faithful, is to understand that when those situations come, and when the hardship or the sacrifices must be made to be faithful to Jesus, that we accept that and we make that sacrifice. Because that's what being faithful to Jesus is really all about. Now, I can be faithful to myself, but that doesn't necessarily mean I'm being faithful to Jesus. I have to be willing to be faithful to Jesus first, like Mary was, like Joseph was, like He calls us to be. Mary, did you know the responsibilities you'd have as a mother to teach your child? instruct him, to trust and obey your son. Let's go to this point for a minute. We talked about the instruction, and mothers, you have a tremendous job as you teach your children, and you're doing that work now, and God love you for it. You keep teaching your children. Teach them about God. Teach them about Jesus. Teach them about His Word. Teach them about honoring and trusting and obeying His Word in their lives. Show it to him by the way you live. Trust, but Mary's going to have to trust and obey her son one day. As she teaches him to trust and obey God, she's going to end up trusting and obeying him because he is the Son of God. In Acts 1 and 14, after his resurrection and ascension, Mary is named among the disciples gathering in Jerusalem as they wait for the promise of the Spirit to be fulfilled, which came on the day of Pentecost. Mothers, your responsibilities, your heart, your words, your actions, train and shape your child, not just for this life, but for eternity. And so take up that challenge with faith, because that's how it's going to be accomplished. And finally, Mary, did you know your blessings would come through the pain and sorrow? I don't intend necessarily to repeat myself, but maybe I do. We just got to keep saying this over and over again. If I'm going to receive the blessings of from God, then I have to accept the pain and sorrow that's attached to it. Mothers learn this at childbirth. Mothers learn this principle and live through it practically. Because you give birth in pain. Genesis 3:16. So mothers learn that. Mary learned that. It's an illustration of our life as disciples too. Her pain reached the depth of her soul, but her hope was fixed on God. Look at Luke 1:49-50. As we think about this and sum this up. Luke 1:49. He is mighty and has done great things for me, and holy is His name. His mercy is on those who fear Him from generation to generation. Mary saw God as merciful and blessed, blessing her, showing His strength in her life from generation to generation. And on those who fear Him, Mary feared God. Mary had reverence for God. And of course, that's the same that He wants for us. He wants us to fear Him, follow His commandments, receive the blessings that come from that. Let's close with Luke 11:27-28. Luke 11:27. There was an occasion here where a woman in the crowd, as Jesus spoke these things, a certain woman from the crowd raised her voice and said to Him, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts which nursed you." Well, blessed is your mother. And what a blessing it is for the mother to have the son or the daughter be someone who would be like Jesus, to follow Him, that would be faithful to God and following His will. What a blessing. But look at Jesus' response too. He doesn't shun that statement. He said, more than that, blessed are those who hear the Word of God and keep it. More than that is, we might say, indeed, yet rather. Indeed, she is blessed. But even more so is the blessing to the one who fears God, who hears the Word of God and keeps it. So, you see, our blessings can exceed the blessings of Mary by hearing the Word of God and keeping it. Because you see, now that the Son has arrived and the redemption that He offers is preached to the whole world, we have redemption and entrance into His kingdom. Our citizenship is in heaven. Great spiritual blessings. Great faith. A faith that Mary had will bring blessing, because like Mary, we will say, "I am your servant. Be it done to me according to your word. I will trust you. I will obey you." If that's your need this morning because you're not a Christian, you need to trust and obey Jesus. You need to hear His word and keep it. Listen to what he says. Jesus said, "He that believes and is baptized will be saved. He that does not believe will be condemned. The unbeliever will die in their sin." That's the words of Jesus.
He said,
if you want to be saved, he said, "He that
believes and is baptized will be saved." The call of the gospel is to believe and be baptized. That's the Great Commission call. And we urge it upon you today.
Hear His word and keep it. And be blessed. Even more greatly than Mary was. This woman of faith. Or correct sin in your life as a child of God, as a Christian. Repent and pray His blessings. He will forgive you. We want to help you accomplish that. If that's your need, won't you come while we stand and sing?